Hi guys, welcome back. Happy New Year. Welcome to yours truly, Hannah E, season 2. It's me, Hannah, and today I have a guest.
Emmanuel.
So me and Emmanuel are going to be talking about outgrowing someone / friendships and giving you guys some advice on that, as well as getting to know Emmanuel a little bit. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
So me and Hannah are really good friends. I'm currently a senior at UT. I'm a neuroscience major, graduating in May. And I take joy and pride in making fun of Hannah here and there. It is my favorite pastime.
Yeah, I think everyone enjoys making fun of me a lot because I do so much stupid stuff. Yeah, so today's episode, we're going to talk about signs you're outgrowing someone. So as always, I love a great thread. And on Instagram, I'm going to link it in the description box. We found a thread on We're Not Really Strangers, incredible Instagram page. So we're going to go through kind of, I think there's 9 things that show signs of outgrowing a friendship. So the first one, actually, first off, how was your New Year's?
It was good. I'm happy to be in the new decade,
okay. How are you feeling for the new semester?
I'm ready to graduate.
Your last semester?
See the alumni hat I got on? Look at this.
Yes.
Alumni. I'm ready to leave. I'm ready for it to be.
He's like, I'm ready to leave the University of Tennessee.
A plot twist, I'm coming back next year for MPH. So I'm really not leaving.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. I'm super excited for all my classes. I'm a minor. I got a minor in sociology now, so I'm a business major with a sociology minor, and I'm taking an American societies class and a political sociology class. So it's about
Hannah
to be
E with the sociology minor.
Oh, I know. My political sociology professor, I was like giving him like theories, and he was like, are you a sociology major? I was like, no, I'm a business major, but like I just love theories.
So you're that student, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, like,
you're the one we all look at deeply. Like, of course. Here
I know.
We go.
I know. So okay, let us get into the episode. So the first sign that you're outgrowing someone is you still love the person, but you like them less. Character traits are becoming more clear that you wouldn't vouch for. Would you agree?
Ain't that the truth?
I guess, like,
I think that's probably the most true thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty accurate as well. And I think as you're going into a new year, you kind of like start to reflect on like the relationships that you had in 2019 and like also in the last decade
and how they've changed. That. And who you surround yourself with now differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It definitely all plays a factor.
100%. I totally agree. The second one is interactions flow less and feel more forced.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you have any like examples of
I won't talk about it like that. But yes.
Yeah.
It does. I'll give like a anonymous example. So one of my really good friends, we're real close, and just lately we've just kind of fallen off. And it's not like I hate him or anything, but at the same time, it's one of those moments where it's like, I just don't feel the need to be around you anymore or talk to you anymore or be buddy-buddy. I think like I've outgrown him almost, you know, not in a negative sense. He's a great guy, but I just don't really see the point of our interactions as much.
Yeah, I can like echo that as well. I think like last semester, and I like talked with you about this, but like, so I'm 21 and I'm like
21
and savage. I'm turning 22 next month.
Damn.
And yeah, I know. Yeah.
big girl I'm playing.
But last semester I wasn't like drinking a lot, like 1 month, and I remember I had like a friend constantly like reaching out to like hang out, or like she would have like hangouts where there was alcohol, and I feel like she wasn't like understanding that like I wanted to just like hang out with her type of thing. You know what I mean? Like I was like wanting to do things where like it would just be the two of us, like, oh, like let's go to the grocery store, or like,
sure, called you to
let's
hang
do
out.
This. Yeah. And
mine
then
disappeared on me. I was like, all right, it's cool.
I ran into them, and like it was such a like weird interaction, because they were like, I was trying to be there for you, and I was like, but like Were you? Like, yeah, so it was just very, like, weird, and I haven't decided if I'm, like, gonna reach out again, because I'm, like, because they still interact with one of my other friends, and yeah. I'm, like, yeah, do I not? Like, it's a new year, so maybe I should, but then
I've gotten to the point now where it's, if you're not having a positive impact on me, or if me being around you is constantly putting me in a state of mind that I don't want to be in, then I'm perfectly okay with not interacting with you. Now, if I see you, there's no disrespect, no beef, it's all love. But I'm not going to go out my way to talk to you when you're especially bringing me into a state of mind that I don't want to be in purposely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. I also took, when I was over the holiday break, I took my Enneagram test, and I'm like an 8 wing 7. So apparently I have this people pleaser, or like I have complex. So like I like people, and like I want to always be there and like savior type of like aspect, but
you're doing too much.
That's you can't do it. You got to set boundaries. 2020.
2020, we're here for the boundaries.
Yes. So the third thing is things that just bothered you in the past no longer surprise you, and you've accepted it as simply as the way they are, for better or for worse.
Absolutely.
That is 100% true.
Absolutely. I think for me, in my example of this situation, my friend started to just... He really wasn't really there as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, and you know, I would support my friend in all things he does, but he was kind of absent, right? Mm-hmm. And we'd try and get him to come out or wherever the case may be, and he just really wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So, or he'd prioritize other things, right? And I'm okay with you prioritizing things, but it's like, damn, dog. We hung out almost every day.
Yeah.
You can't even find a day where we don't have to be studying to hang out. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So it just got to a point where at first it bothered me, and at first I was like, man, this is kind of okie whack. And it got to a point where I was like, here's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm perfectly okay with letting it be what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like completely agree. I think also too, I think like especially in college, like we're seniors, so we've like also like, we've like gone through it.
We have life coming up.
Like we have gone through. We're jaded. Like, and especially I think like
man, freshman year me would have been trying to say.
Oh, always.
Bro, same. I love you like a brother. Come on, man. Fuck it.
Yeah. Especially too, I feel like as you like go through each like sophomore to junior, and then junior to senior, and then like once you're a senior, I feel like shit just like gets real.
It hits you differently.
It does, because you're like, especially for you, I'm sure, like, and like I'm the same way. Like I'm graduating in December, but I'm already like having to like figure out like what am I doing like within the next year.
It gets real because you realize like life is here.
Yeah.
Like I'm an adult.
Yes. Like, literally.
Like, I don't have time. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
If you feel some type of way, or if you decide to act a certain kind of time away, that's cool.
Mm.
Like, that's you. I'm not going to ask you to change who you are for me.
Mm.
That's just whack.
Yeah.
But I'm perfectly okay with walking away and being cool with you from a distance.
Exactly.
You don't have to be in my life. The thing I noticed in life is there'll always be new people. I've met your roommates. There'll always be new people that'll come in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no press to try and keep someone in your life, but it's negative for you.
Yeah, for sure. I like completely agree. Especially, I feel like, I don't know about you, but like I have high school friends. So when I went back this Christmas break, I like reconnected with. Well, I didn't reconnect, but like we had been reconnecting since last semester, and all three of us like hung out, and it was like so much fun and like just so lively, because like we all have been like through the college experience but like differently.
Yeah.
So like two of them got to like catch up, and I was just like there like, what's good, like what's popping? But it was like super fun, and I think that's also what's nice is like friendships come in waves, and I think like even if like a friendship ends now, like who knows, like within 2 to 3 years.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And that's why I try never like to burn a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm perfectly cool with not being on that bridge.
Yeah. You know exactly. I
mean? We can put the bridge out of commission. I don't have to be on the bridge.
Exactly. And then 4 is you latch onto past positive experiences with this person to justify the relationship. Oh, this is like very true.
That used to be big for me.
Oh, that's like so big for
that
me.
That used to be real big that's for
like
me.
So big for me. I like.
And the thing I realized, it just blinds your view of things, your holistic view.
Yeah.
Because I realized, I was like, I'm holding on to a piece here, a piece there. But in the grand scheme of things, if I take everything into consideration, it really wasn't that great to start off with.
Yeah.
I was ignoring red flags from the jump.
And sometimes you don't even, like, but you don't want to validate those red flags because, like, you're like, but this person, like, is good, or, like, this person is, like, XYZ.
I saw something real a couple of days ago, and it said the red flags you ignore today will be the same red flags that make you leave tomorrow.
Exactly. That's actually a good quote.
The same red flag you decide to vouch for or try and rationalize today will be the exact same red flags.
Yeah.
And when I look it back into my example, it's true. It holds true.
Mm-hmm.
So just however you want to rationalize that red flag, just make sure it's a good enough rationalization.
That is true. That is, like, very true. I also think, too, when it comes to things like this, I think, like, when you go through, like, a rough time in your life, I think it's important to, like, know the people that were there for you when you were, like, going through it. Because, like, those positive experiences will out, like, for example, like, I think last fall, like, I've mentioned on here, like, when you lose a parent, like, I feel like that changes, like, your whole entire life. And, like, also, like, what shit you actually have to, like, get done. And I think, like, you know what people were there for you when you were going through it. And, like, who checked in and, like, who honestly, like, lifted you from the darkness. And you also know the people who, like, never, like, not necessarily were never there, but, like, just didn't, like, say anything. And I think that and, like, it's kind of like going back to the past, like, positive experiences, but not realizing that, like, those people, like, who was there, like, were they there, like, you did, like, a whole,
it gets,
you know,
it gets real tricky when the people that were there are the ones you're now outgrowing. That's when it really starts to get into the mess.
It does. Okay, the fifth one is, your growth isn't supported. It's more often critiqued or criticized.
I see that. I can feel that. Because for me, I've gotten to the point where I just, certain things I'm just not willing to take anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, certain things I'm not willing to hear people, have people say about me in any manner.
Mm-hmm.
You could be joking, you could be serious. I just don't want that to be said to me or about me. We're grown.
Exactly.
Like, if you have something to say that's going to piss me off, like, what's good? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm not... And people will often say, oh, sometimes you're doing too much. It's like, no, I just don't want that said about me.
Because
it puts me in a mind state that I don't want to be in.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, yeah, I do.
People critique that, but at the same time.
I had two friends who came, and one of them, me and her, like, got into an argument.
Yeah.
And I remember in this argument, she was like, basically it was like the tip of the iceberg. Like, there were a lot of issues that, like, were never communicated. And I was like, if you had just communicated, like, to me, because I knew at this time that, like, I had a lot of, like, ear problems or whatever. So then I finally got that checked and we're all good now.
All good now.
We're all good.
Good
now.
Health. Good sailing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
but
he is not deaf anymore.
Yes.
You're here first.
Literally cleaned out all my ears. So I remember that she was, like, coming for my character. Like, she was like, you're immature. You're one of those people. Da 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 da. And I was like, what? Like, this is, like, where is this coming from? And I remember I was, like, sitting in my bed and I was like, what? Like, I remember journaling it, and I was like, this girl's coming from nowhere. Like, I talked with, like, one of my friends from my, like, marketing research class about it, and she was like, this does not make any sense. Like,
where she's coming from.
What is going on? And I think and especially, too, she, like, knew me from high school, right? So she saw a person from, like, high school that is completely different from the person I am today, because, like, I also don't think she, like, realized, like, the amount of, like, stress or pressure and all those things that, like, come with being out of state and, like, or even going, like, 6 hours away from home. Like no one knows what you go through while you're here. They just know that you're here, you're working hard, you're getting a degree, and you're, like,
understand how occupied you are.
Like, that's what I mean. And I remember, too, like, I was gonna be busy that weekend, and I told them everything I was doing. But, like, if I told them Thursday night, don't come, it would have been a whole nother, like, conversation. Because, like, they had planned to come that weekend. But I knew I was going to be... It was, like, it was basically, like, a
rocking a hard place.
Yeah, like there was no winning that situation. But the friend that did come that I'm closest with, like, it was fine. She apologized. She was like, I'm sorry for this weekend. And then we're going to, like, FaceTime probably, like, next week and, like, talk everything out. Because I'm just going to emphasize to her, like, I can't be around that girl anymore because, like, she, like, literally came... She literally told me to shut up. Like she came to visit me and, like, literally was, like, saying, shut up and da-da-da-da. And I was like, no. Like, you can't... I don't know. It's, like, the respect thing, you know?
No,
like,
it's definitely a principle. You're in my house. I'm being your host.
Yeah.
You know what? You're not going to talk to me crazy in my own...
And she was talking mad crazy. Crazy.
God, we can't do all that.
Yes. So, 6. Your views on important topics seem too far off to make sense. Your reasoning and theirs seem to come from different views of reality.
I think that's really big, seeing how we're going into an election year.
Oh, 100%.
I think you have to find the friends that you can... have different political views on and still have a respectful relationship.
100%.
And a respectful friendship.
100%. I agree.
And it's especially hard when... Because for me, I saw him as a good person. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he was a great guy. We're so good friends. I'm not just acting like we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. But some of the things that happen, it's like, do you really support this?
Mm-hmm.
You're okay with this?
Yeah.
Is this really your view on this topic?
Mm-hmm.
Is this how you want to proceed forward in our country's
state,
day-to-day yeah. affair.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that tend to could come into play. And my thing is, I don't mind Republicans. I don't mind Democrats. But I can't stand Trump. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know what you mean.
Listen, if Mitt Romney had won the election in 2012, I would have been, listen, we would not, listen. If John McCain had won, look. But man, this guy winning, I don't know if I should be afraid of an impending bomb. I don't know if he's going to piss off another world leader. I don't know if he's going to make fun of another Gold Star's family. I don't know if he's going to say another quote that just generalizes every person in a specific category to all the rapists.
Exactly.
Right. I actually had someone trying to argue or debate this with me. They're like,
oh God.
He wasn't saying immigrants. He was saying illegal immigrants. He was saying all illegal immigrants, sir. So I sat down and said, okay, so you're saying just because he made it sound like illegal immigrants are rapists, that's okay? And I then went forward to say, if I were to categorize the most common rapist, I'm willing to bet, I'm not sure if it's a stat or not, but I'm willing to bet the most common rapist is a white male. Most common racist is probably also a white male. Do I have stats to back that up? No, but I'm willing to bet.
And honestly, we have Google. You can Google this. Yeah. Like, you could literally look into all this stuff. And I cannot, like, attest. Like, I echo everything you said, especially to my trip to Austin, like, doing that immigration reform trip, like, opened up my eyes. Like, I don't think anyone understands the immigration process unless you do community service where it's affecting someone that you know and you care about, or your family has gone through the process. Like, my parents both immigrated here from Nigeria.
I'm an immigrant from Nigeria.
Exactly. And, like, no one gets it. Like, the fact that, like, you have to spend almost, like, 20 plus years, sometimes even more, and, like, so much money to eventually, to become a citizen.
Well, I tell you what, my dad, actually, growing up, he was a refugee because he was born during the Nigerian Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me one thing. He said, no refugee goes into another man's country trying to start trouble.
Period.
No one who's leaving their home in search of a better place wants to go there to start trouble.
No one does.
I'm willing to bet. People talk about drugs. There are drugs here.
And there are.
I tell you what, our country prescribes super addictive drugs that pharmaceutical companies know are addictive. And they know they're too addictive. And they could have made a better version, but they'd rather you keep coming back and buying the addictive opioids
because
and narcotics and making more money. Our country is a drug problem.
Exactly.
And we call it capitalism. And we're okay with it. And we're mad because someone else is coming, taking a job you don't want to do. Let's be honest. You want to cut grass? No, you don't.
No. You know no one. No one wants to.
Talk about taking our jobs. All right, fine then. You on disability checks, sitting around in middle of nowhere, County, Tennessee. You got up, go cut some grass. and let's see if you like it.
Exactly.
Because I promise you, if you hop off the country's disability checks, that's more tax money our way. Exactly. Do us a favor.
Exactly. I literally, can't echo this, so much. I literally did a presentation for my organization on intersectionality, and I heard that, I heard one person was making a face, which I was like, oh, that's interesting, because, I'm a black woman, so that's an intersectionality. Mind you, okay, that person was also a woman. Okay, so, first off, there's that. Then, apparently, I'm assuming some of the white males in the room didn't feel the most comfortable, because it was, cute, YouTube video on intersectionality with this, queer, Asian woman, and she was talking about how white people also have in some ways an intersectionality, but I think it was just so this is the thing too, it's how are you going to get the information if we don't put it in your face? You're not, because you literally have to go out and look for it, or you have to take a class. I think I became way more educated on everything after I took my race and ethnicity class last semester, which then fueled me to want to take more sociology classes, which is why I'm also taking a political sociology class, so I can understand how do we even get here? Why are we even here? We shouldn't have to be living in a reality where there's potential chance that World War III is potentially happening.
I actually have a really really, really different upbringing on this topic.
Yeah.
So, of course, my parents are Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie, I'll be brutally honest here. So, coming from Africa, mm-hmm. right? The African view on the American, from my parents.
Yeah.
Now, and from what I can see, the African view on the American black person isn't exactly one of high value. Or high integrity, yeah. Or high stock,
mm-hmm.
right? So for my parents coming to this country, they said, "Which category of people are doing the best? What category of people are thriving the most?
Mm-hmm.
Which section of the world will our children have the best outcome being, right?" So my parents, of course, being them, and Nigeria being a country colonized by Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
their options were, if you keep them around people who speak proper, like us,
mm-hmm.
who have high educational value goals, like us, that's not good. So my mm-hmm. parents, of course, put me took me to the suburbs, raised me in a predominantly white society, and of course, my parents, who spoke proper English, raised me to speak proper English, and I didn't get exposed to race
mm-hmm.
or racism or the brutality of it in its whole ramification until I got to college.
Really?
College was the first time I'd ever start to really see racism.
Wow.
Because I grew up in a society around white people where my neighbor looked out for me. He's a surgeon. He looked out for me. Mm-hmm. My other neighbors looked out for me. All my friends in school. I mean, I saw bits of it in high school.
Yeah.
But it was never to the extent of what I saw when I came mm-hmm. to college. My roommate freshman year called me the N-word hard R in my face on Snapchat. Of course, we had issues after that,
mm-hmm.
but I'd never really been,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
when I first heard that, I cried. I'll be honest, I cried. I was like, wow, this is fucking real.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I experienced racism in high school. I had an English professor who I was trying to get into honors English my junior year, and oh,
of course,
she
always honors
she
professors.
Everyone yes
it's always
everyone got an A and B on a paper, but I yeah. failed it, and then she went behind my back and she took me out of the honors English honors American English class because she didn't think I was ready, but didn't talk to me about any of this.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to go talk with her with one of my white friend Jordan at the time, and
yeah.
she came with me during lunch, and I was like, I don't understand why you did this, I'm gonna go appeal for this. And I remember another teacher came, and she was like, is everything okay? What am I gonna do?
What you mean?
I'm
okay.
16, 17 years old, what am I gonna do? And that was my first instance, and I remember someone called me when I was in this English class my junior year. I remember someone was like, you remind me of Aunt Jemima. I was like,
yeah.
Okay. So that was little bits in high school, but I think in high school I had a pretty diverse friend group my senior year and my junior year. So it started to obviously was able to talk about those issues with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then when I came to UT, I was like, this is nothing new, because I grew up yeah. in the suburbs, been there, done that. Like, this was nothing new. Like, this wasn't a culture shock. It wasn't until, like, my fall and my spring semester when me and my friend, we were coming back from the fort. And, of course, always on a truck.
Yeah.
These guys were on a truck, and they called us the N-word with the hard R. And we were like, what? Like, what did we just hear? And yeah. I was like, okay. And then I think after 45 or Trump got elected in 2017, everything just, like, completely changed on this campus. Like, I think people just were getting bolder. And then, obviously, last spring with everything that happened in regards to, like, the blackface thing. I think coming into this year, I knew I wanted to become more politically aware and, yeah. like, just, like, educate myself because of the fact that, like, I think in 2016, everything was just heavily controlled with social media.
It was very polarized.
Polarized. Very and polarized. Social media wasn't helping it. And that's the industry that I want to go into. And I think there is a way to utilize social media. Like, that's probably the first step.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is, like, to have conversation. Like, I can be friends with someone who's Republican, and I can be friends with someone who's, like, extremely liberal or extremely, like, Republican, but it's, like, coming down and being, like, you have to respect this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to call me the N-word. You're not going to play your N, like, even if your favorite song.
You're not going to downplay this.
Yes, like, you're not going to downplay this. Like, I remember, like, I had a friend who was playing, like a rap song that had the N-word, and I was like, oh, please don't play this. And they were like, it's... And I was like, please don't play this, because, like, you're about to put me in a very uncomfortable space, because it's like, I can't over, like, I could overreact, but then, like, no one's going to understand why I'm overreacting.
I tell you, I think it's really, when it comes down to it, it's all just, like, perception.
It
you
is. Know,
it's all the perception of it. And I think the moment both sides are willing to take a step in the middle.
Yes.
Take a step towards it, which means that. You have to be okay with not getting everything you want.
Exactly. And like, honestly,
I have to be okay with not getting everything I want. I think it's important. I think the moment we can both sacrifice what we think is the more important, we can start to see actual progress being made.
Exactly.
But I think it all comes down to perception.
But I think everyone wants to be right.
Everyone wants to win the negotiation.
And it's like, why don't we compromise?
Exactly. And like, looking, like, towards these new candidates, I'm trying to find the one that doesn't compromise on his or her values, but I want someone who's willing to come to the middle and find the right solution.
Yeah. I also think, too, it's important as well, and I don't know if you have this issue, but, like, I definitely, like, will talk about diversity, or I'll talk about intersectionality. Like, I mean, especially this year, my whole phrase this year is, like, resilience, so, like, I'm just going for things. You know how you're
scared to talk about it.
Yeah, and, like...
You saw me last Friday acting
yes,
a fool.
Yeah, yes.
You know how you're scared to talk about it.
Yeah, so I think, like... I definitely, like, don't mind talking about it, but I think it's, like, making sure when it comes to friendships, like, not being the token or, like, not being, like, the diversity friend or, like, I think it's, like, making sure that there's intention if you ask questions or, like, if you come on this podcast and we talk about certain things, like...
I had a really good conversation with one of my friends. He's a Republican guy. Mm-hmm. And he really, like, he asked, like, now, I'm not coming at him wrong, but he actually asked, like, why can't I say the N-word? What is actually, can you please explain to me why this is wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And from the outlook, you probably think, like, oh, he's trying to start something. But I know him. I knew his heart. He was actually trying to learn. Like, a lot of times, if you give him an actual explanation of why it's wrong, a lot of times I'll listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down and explained the history of the word and how it morphed into the hard R, into the A. And I gave him the rundown on why it's just not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he said, you know what? I understand. He's a Republican. So you can be Republican and not racist.
Exactly.
Not all Republicans
exactly.
are racist.
Exactly. I just feel like people... I
not
think,
all Republicans are
yes.
racist.
Yes. And I think people don't realize that, like, even if someone calls you racist, like, you can change. Like, you don't have to, like... It's not
a permanent label.
Exactly. It's not. It's just being
people
unconscious.
People act like being racist is an STD. No. Like, you can get rid of it.
You can get rid of it.
STDs, you can get rid of STDs. You don't have to be a racist.
You don't.
It costs 0 cents a day. To not be a racist.
Exactly. It's just basically respecting that, like, this is my walk of life. This is your walk of life. How can we, like, communicate and, like, have a relationship and not, like...
But I think the biggest thing about that...
Yeah.
You say this is my walk of life. Is your, but their walk of life...
Like, affects our
walk. Their walk of life and their outlook on life...
Yeah.
Was really founded on being a superior class.
So their outlook on things is really different from ours.
Yeah.
So if we look at capitalism, you work hard, you make your own money, you get a family and a life. Well, in the 60s, who got the opportunity to do all that? Mm-hmm. I tell you what, there weren't a whole lot of black business owners in the 60s. This company was founded on those principles, but those same principles undercut a strong, vast majority of minority population, right? Mm-hmm. So their outlook on life is, well, I've seen my father, my grandfather, all these guys worked hard, my uncles, my aunts, and I look at them now, they're doing good. Why can't you work hard? They don't realize that I have really bad school systems, and the government really isn't looking out for me that much.
Exactly.
And pushing dope is a lot easier than trying to go to college. I'm not pushing dope because I want to push dope. I'm pushing dope because I need to feed my family.
Exactly.
They're not pushing. No one wants to push dope or drugs for maybe in college, but no 35-year-old likes pushing dope. They want to push dope for their family. They have kids to feed at home.
Exactly.
And it always that's their capitalism.
Exactly. It comes back to, and I think too, like, we both come from Nigerian family, so like family means a lot.
Family name means everything.
Everything. Like family means everything. So it's just like, it's just like also like this whole like we're coming into our own selves as well. So yes. It's just like, how do you navigate that? And then also like Trump, and then also like this war, and then also like,
navigating the tight line of like, how do you be yourself?
Exactly.
Because I struggle with this a lot. Like, it's something I'll expose myself. I'll be honest on the podcast. I struggle a lot with my parents raised me speaking proper English. My parents raised me in a very sheltered environment. So I didn't really have opportunity to see the outside world a whole lot.
Yeah.
I did 5 things in high school. I was at school, track practice, the library, church, or math tutoring. Those were the only things I did in high school.
You never went out.
I didn't really go out. I went to my first party in college. So like my view on the world was really like filtered.
Mm.
Like a modified North Korea almost.
Okay.
Right? So everything I saw around me, there's white people. Even my black uncles, mentors, everything, they're African. They're if you look at their attitudes, how they act, how they speak, you think they're white too. So coming to college, I had to draw the line of, I speak proper, but I'm black. And I don't really know how to act super cool, so I'm trying to figure out where do I fit in this world? Yeah, like
who am I?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Am I a white black kid? My black white kid.
And it's like, why do we have to?
But why do we have?
Why
to
do we have
that?
To figure that out?
Why can't I just? Why be can't black? I just be me? Why can't my version of black be okay with anybody? Exactly. No, being black means you have to be this certain criteria. Yeah. And I don't understand that.
I know. I wonder if it's also because we're in Knoxville. You know what I mean?
And I don't think that has any much to do with it. I think it's just the way.
It's the way. I think like we've, life. Yeah. We've
accepted like being black has to be these certain things.
Yeah.
And if you're not in these certain things, then you have to belong to some criteria that fits you the most.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, why can't I just make my own criteria?
Why can't I be me in me? Right? I mean, that sounds cliche, but why can't I just be accepted for what I am?
Exactly.
Right? And it's crazy. That's the fine line I try and juggle each day almost.
No, I do too. Don't worry. Like, I go through the same paradox as well. Because, I mean, like, I remember being called, like, an Oreo or, like, having, like, why do you talk so proper? And it's like, I just...
And the same people talking about some Wakanda Forever were the same ones talking about some African Boogie literally. Scratcher.
Yes!
I'm not hearing it. Yeah, I've been messed up.
Literally.
The same people now, that would talk about some, Africa is so great. Well, you would call me African Blue Scratcher in second grade, dog.
Exactly.
I was being real.
And now they want to go to Africa and they're like, oh.
And now they want to be woke. Yeah, if you don't sit down somewhere.
Get out. But this is definitely very true. And I think like that is something I could echo to the audience is just like, we are in a year where it is going to be very politic heavy. And I think don't let your friends like carry your judgment, like do your own research.
Absolutely.
Use Google.
Absolutely.
Use social media, like follow people who like educate you on what's going on, because especially too, if something does happen, you don't want to just side with someone, because I think especially with Twitter, like that's a big place where
everyone just sides with whoever.
Like, and it's like, why don't you actually educate yourself or find YouTube videos or like we are in a time where you can find anything instantly. So it's just like, why are you just relying on social media to like dictate. And I'm hoping to, like, with my internship, like, I'm hoping, like, I can, like, figure out ways of, like, how social media operates in a larger scale in a corporation, and figuring out how, like,
to finesse it.
How to finesse it, and also to how to, like, also provide not necessarily, like, political education, but education to people in a different, like, in certain mediums.
Essentially, how to stop fake news on social media.
Exactly. Like, people will literally tweet things that they don't even understand. Like, and it's like, why are you, you're just trying to get clout. And it's like, why
but,
do you?
But that's just the atmosphere of social media these days.
Yeah.
And I mean, World War III was hilarious. I love Twitter.
Oh, that's...
You kidding me?
Yeah, those memes...
Those tweets had me geeked. I was...
I was seeing both sides. I was seeing the memes, but then I was also seeing, like, there was this video of this girl, and they used it when Syria was having all those issues a couple of years ago, and it was kind of, like, relating to, like, the kids that are going through that, like, in Iran and all that stuff. But, I mean, if you have an iPhone, there's, like, a news app. If you literally just follow a news outlet, they'll update you. So, like, there's ways to still be informed, even if you don't want to, like, look, like, go and do your own research.
My heart goes out to all of those people.
I know, because it's crazy, because even the soldiers, like, that are deployed there, even the people who are, like, trying to figure out, like, how they're living, because we...
The thing about war is war respects no one.
It doesn't. Everyone's affected.
Everyone but America.
Exactly.
Really. I mean, we bombs don't kill just one person.
They kill
a range of people. And exactly. All those people are civilians.
Exactly.
A lot of people that hurt are civilians. Their moms, their dads, their uncles, their aunts. And now what do you have? You have a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, 7, 8-year-old who's still in the impressionist part of his life, where everything you say to them can really impress how he looks at the world forever. Mm-hmm. All it takes for the wrong person to say, America dropped this bomb on your mom and your dad. They killed your parents. And now you have someone who has the potential to be a high risk.
Exactly.
All because we didn't know how to go. And then war respects no one.
I mean, also too. I mean, war we all respects know. No one. I feel like the reason why this is happening too is because he got impeached and he's trying to, like, turn the news or something like that.
The thing about it is I see that aspect of it. People are saying that. And I understand why they're coming to it with that.
Yeah.
But I also see the aspect of the person he took out wasn't like, a great guy.
Like, if you look into it, he actually was, like...
If you look into the person who like you would, he was, mm-hmm. anyone, any... It's almost the equivalent of taking out Bin Laden.
He was that extreme?
He had a lot of attacks on Americans, a lot of attacks on Iranians.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, like, he wasn't a great guy all around.
Mm.
And I mean, he was so high up, their country can't, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying we did them a favor. I'm not saying we handled it the best way, but he had to be handled.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't know that
I didn't think sending a drone to a dinner, it was the best way of handling him. But
I think it's just, like, now the aftermath that's going to come from it.
And now the aftermath. Now we have a plane shot down with Canadians.
Yeah.
And now we have Trudeau asking for a full investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Iran saying, listen, it was an accident. We're sorry.
It was intentional. Yeah.
Like,
but that means that you're speculating it was as I'm saying, it's like if they had just communicated. And even, too, it was, like, it was so... I don't know. It's not like it was out of nowhere.
Communicating,
but like,
it's easy to say Vegas communicated. Yeah. But
I think when the situation is happening,
but when
it's
you have
hard.
A country's administration who you don't trust in Iran, right? I don't think America is wholeheartedly trust Iran's administration. So you go. What happens when you go to them with that information?
Exactly.
And they leak it to him. Well, what happens if you go to them with that information and they say you're wrong?
Exactly.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of factors into it.
There's a lot that goes
know.
Into it. And
politics, man. Politics. But the next one, 7, is you don't feel a need to cut them out completely, but less is more.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, like, I'm not going to burn a bridge down for no reason, but I'm cool driving around that bridge. I'm cool sailing across the lake, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I think I agree with that too. I think especially too, and maybe you can agree with this as well. I noticed from like freshman to sophomore year, sophomore to junior year, like the close people I kept around me, like got smaller or yeah. like got like the people that I was like, people these are my friends. These are like, yeah, it's the people I text every day. It's like now I think I can count them on my fingers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that.
So like, I think as you, and especially too, I feel like if you ever get like backstabbed or like, you lose, like, or even, like, someone breaks your trust, you know what I mean? Like, tells your business. Yeah. I think that also can, like, cause you to be like, okay, well, I need to rethink how much I let everyone know. Because I feel like for me, too, like, I'm a big storyteller.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll tell, not my whole story, but I'll tell people, like, my story. And I always, like, question, I'm like, is this too much? Like,
yeah.
Is this too much at once? Because it's like, yeah, I'm telling you all of this, but I don't know everything about you. So it's like, oh, did I just do the wrong thing? But I think that's also, like, my personality. Like, I think that's just, like, who I am. Like,
in general.
Yeah. Like, I'm just an extroverted person. But I also don't trust everyone. Like, I know this. Like, I know that, like, there are certain things I'm not going to tell everyone. Like, I'm not going to tell everyone.
That's why, like, this might sound crazy.
Yeah.
But I live by, like, a certain amount of, like, certain, like, guideline principles.
Okay. Ooh, right? I would love to hear this.
Here's how I live my life.
Okay.
And I think if you ask anyone, they probably say, yeah, it's true. I'm very transparent.
Okay.
You could ask me a question, and I'll answer it. But I want to answer it. I'll tell you I don't want to answer that question. Or I'll dance around it to where you realize I'm not going to answer that question right now. Mm-hmm. Right? So transparency is one thing. Another thing I live my life on, and this might be controversial, people might agree with it, but this is me in my life. I try and treat everyone as best as I can. I fail sometimes.
Mm.
But I try and treat everyone the way Jesus Christ would treat them.
Okay.
How, in a situation, just might sound cliche, but I sit myself and ask myself, what would Christ do? What would he do? How would he treat that weird kid in class? How would he treat that kid no one wants to listen to? How would he treat the person in the elevator who looked like they're having a rough day? How would he treat that guy who's in line? And that people say, oh, you have so many friends. Man. No, I just try and be a nice guy to everyone.
Yeah.
I just try and be a good person as best I can to everyone. And I feel like the world loves to, like, pick sides and claim, like, oh, he's my friend or she's my friend. Well, what if we just all tried and be nice to everyone? What if we all just tried and looked and cared?
I feel like more people would not feel alone.
I feel like a lot less suicides would happen.
Mm-hmm. People would feel appreciated.
People would feel like they mattered.
Mm-hmm.
I try at least as much as I can to make everyone feel like they at least matter to someone. You at least matter to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I try and at least... Which is why if someone has an issue, I'm the first one to talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if I listen to an issue, I'll be honest. Some people talk to me, I'm like, man, I couldn't care less. But I know that it's important to them.
To validate it.
And I know that mm-hmm. listening and being there is also important. Whether you like it or not,
mm-hmm.
being there speaks a whole lot more to that person than if you were to just walk away. And I try and I try to be that guy to everyone.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I fail. Sometimes I hear a story. I'm like, you know what? I couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
But as best I can, I try to live up to it. You know?
I mean, I would agree. You gave great advice before we recorded, so I agree. I think for me, I am the same with, like, transparency. I also think I smile all the time. Like,
I'm generally smiling. You don't smile too much.
I know.
But I'm always laughing. Yeah, one of the two.
I know. Look, humor is great, though. So, like,
smiling is not hard.
It's not. I feel like even if you're not actually, like, even if it's a bad day, a smile can turn it around.
That's what I'm saying, man. Or a joke.
Our joke.
I don't care how sad I am. I'm always going to laugh.
Exactly.
I don't care how sad I am. I'm always going to get a laugh off.
Me.
You're going to get me twice.
Me, literally.
I'm saying.
Yeah. So I think that is very, very true. I think less is more. And I think it's also redefining, like, friendships. Like, I'm not drinking right now, so I'm not going out as much. So I think it's just like, what can we do
that
doesn't
include...
I know. February's coming. But I think it's like... redefining, like, how can I still hang out with this person, but, yeah, like, alcohol or maybe eating out or something, yeah, isn't, like, completely involved. And I think if people care about you and they care about the relationship, they won't pressure you or push, yeah, you to do stuff that you're not wanting to do at the moment.
Absolutely. Finding people who actually care about your goals, yeah, yeah, and care about what you're trying to do with your life.
Yes, because look, as a senior, you don't have time. You don't. Like, you can't fuck around. Like, you gotta graduate. Like,
that's the biggest thing that I've learned is like, man, you could be sad, or you could get that bag. Like, you could be sad, yeah, or you could go secure that future.
Yeah,
or you could mope around, but you're just wasting time.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, like I think Beyonce, she does like a 24-hour rule. Like, if she's feeling like upset, she literally lets herself feel it for 24 hours, and then after that, she's back to work.
Nah, I can't do that one. No, I need me a couple days. I need me a day or two in the shower crying.
But I'm dead. Yeah.
Why come at you fast? Some days I might need 48 hours Beyonce. Let me have it.
Like, yes.
I might need 72 hours Beyonce. Let me. That's why you're Beyonce, not me.
Exactly. So 8 is, you don't think they're a bad person, just not for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm not going to burn the bridge down. I just don't feel like driving across it every day.
Yeah. I think it's also respecting boundaries. Like, if someone tells you, like, you've hurt them and they need time to process, don't just interfere when they haven't, like, reached out. Even though you think, like, oh, like, we're a friend, like, sometimes you don't need to process everything when you're going through something with a friend. You know what I mean? Because I think also, too, it's like, I think it comes down to this, like, there's this sociologist named Brené Brown. She's like a big speaker. And she talks about how, like, our world or our society needs more empathy. Like, everyone's being sympathetic instead of empathetic. And it's like, even if you don't understand, it's just being like, I hear you. I validate you. Like, just those little things can, like, go a long way. Because I think it's also, too, it's, like, you never want to be in a, like, friendship or a relationship where, like, you're saying, like, what's going on with you. And, like, you never really ask, like, how are you, actually? Like, truly, you know what I mean? Like, you're just talking about, like, X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. But this person's, like, over here, like, not being able to, like, add to the conversation because, like, maybe they're not doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? And I think it's, like, sometimes, and this happens with any friendship, like, people mess up. So, like, don't think, like, we're saying, like, you're a fuck up if you've done any of these things.
No, but it's, like, a repeated pattern of behavior.
Yeah. It's, like, that's when you need to, like...
It's, like, after a semester of behavior, you're like, all right, I don't really like this. Mm-hmm. That's acceptable to walk away after a semester.
Yes. And sometimes, too, you don't have to explain unless you want to. Like, you don't need to, like...
I mean, I explained to him while I was walking away.
Yeah.
I mean, I told him... Well, I mean, that's between me and him. But I told him, I was like, listen, man, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bridge is not burned. However...
This is how I feel.
This is how I feel about it.
Yeah, I have to have, like, a conversation like that with one of my friends as well.
For sure.
Yeah, which, I mean, we talked about that one. That one's, like, so fucking, like, weird. Just, like, laying the facts. Because sometimes you just have to lay the facts and be like, here's what you're...
Here's what transpired.
Yeah. Like, here's what you're putting me in. Here are the texts. Here are the receipts.
Implications of your actions.
Like, what's going on?
And here's how you... Can I cuss on the... I've been cussing this whole time.
Go for it.
It's fine. Here's how you have me fucked up. All right? Here's the facts, and here's why you have me fucked up.
Literally. So, and I think it's just, like, when you do go through this, like, realization... It's like, you can acknowledge that they're not a bad person. They're just not for you. And that's okay. Because I'm telling you, when you close one door will open. Like,
absolutely.
Always. Always it does. And then the last one is, you're reading this thread and a particular person comes to mind.
That's crazy.
That was actually really crazy.
That's crazy.
But I feel like...
I ain't got two in my mind right now, low key. But that's crazy. That's wild.
I feel like I do too.
I'm doing the same to people's whole time and talking.
I'm like, oh, I know who I need to talk to about this. But I think it's like acknowledging it's like January. It's the start of a new year, a new decade. You don't have to keep these people around you.
I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to keep, but I also think keeping an open mind is also important as well.
Yeah, because I think too. And that's where I think the conversation aspect comes from. Like, being able to, like, just sit and hear other people's opinions and not be like, you're wrong, or like something like that. Because I know that, like, when I found out that this person made a face, like, because I learned that this person made a face in regards to the video that I showed about intersectionality, like, I'm going to reach out to them and I'm going to be like, so I want to have a conversation. Like, this is what I, this is what I heard. So, like, can we discuss this? Because, like, I'm very confused, like, what, like, where you're coming from. Because, like,
what you mean?
Like, and I think it's like, you can, when you can understand the other person's perspective somewhat, it can help you, I guess, navigate how to have conversations with them. Because you're not gonna, not everyone's gonna like you. And I think once you can acknowledge that, like, you're not gonna be everyone's favorite, that's okay.
No, I mean,
that's okay.
Like, there are people I smile at and wave at that look at me straight face and walk right past me. Exactly. That's cool. Don't accept my happiness. Be mad.
And people are always, especially to you, I feel like when you're trying to go for greatness, people are wanting you to fall.
We were just, listen, we were just talking about this. We were just talking about this. Martin Luther King wanted to strive for greater. People wanted him to fall. Barack Obama wanted greater. People wanted him to fall. Me. I'm joking. I'm joking.
I'm weak. But
praying for my downfall.
Always. They are.
They. I don't know who they are, but they are. They are. They're praying.
It's, everyone knows.
They wait on my downfall. Satan,
the snakes, the serpents, they're always here. They're in the world.
So I keep my lawn cut. Ain't no straight snakes in my grass. So I keep my lawn cut. That's a walk the fuck along. You bullshit.
I know. But I hope that this episode can make you guys think, and you can definitely go through the prompt. I'll link it in the description box. Because I think it's important to, like, reflect, because the people, because, you know, the whole saying, like, the five people that you keep around, you'll become, like, the people, the flock that you keep together, you become.
My roommate told me a really funny saying. He was talking about how, like, I always say hi to people when I have all these friends. He was like, look, Emmanuel, I'd rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies. I said, first off, you have 20 nickels. Let's start there, all right? You're going to come at me like I'm some kind of bag of pennies. Second off, but it's true. It's true when it comes to the outgrown people. I'd rather keep me some quarters around me than a bunch of pennies. Because those mean more.
It means more.
Same amount, money-wise, but I'd rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, I think also what's... I think it's important to be a good person, because when you're not in certain spaces, those people will vouch for you.
Absolutely.
I literally went through that last semester.
People like, someone tried talking shit about me, like, you know what? That's cap. We know Emmanuel. He'd never do that.
Exactly.
So.
And where it's like, I had one situation where someone brought up to my attention, someone was talking about me, and they defended me. They were like, you know, you have no idea what the fuck she's going through. But why is her name in your mouth? And I was like, and this is why.
Here's why I keep 20 nickels.
This is why I'm a good person. This is why I be talking to everyone. And I know how people are always like, oh my God, Hannah, you know so many people. You know so many people. It's like, I know so many people, but like, doesn't mean I keep all these people.
Don't mean they're in my close circle.
Exactly.
I just like being a good person to people.
Exactly. And I think that's what it comes down to. And I hope as the audience, as you guys go throughout 2020, you just always remember, like, be a good person. I mean, like, there's a...
Say it again. It costs $0 and 0 cents
literally, to be a good person. Yeah, like, you don't have to be a dick.
$3.99. Just literally $3.99.
Like, just smile. Like,
just smile.
Literally.
Just be happy. You don't have to always be me.
Yes.
Like,
and even if, like, you're in a space where you don't feel like you can be happy, I think it's like faking it till you make it. Unless it's like to a point where, like, you need, like, medical help, like, definitely, you know, big advocate.
If you're not happy, if being somewhere isn't making you joyous, because happiness can be fickle.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is what really matters.
Yes.
If you don't have joy where you are, you know, or in a friendship, in a relationship, whatever it is, if it's bringing you to a negative state of mind, if it's dragging you down, leave.
Leave.
It is perfectly okay for you to choose yourself. Just leave.
Literally. I'm literally doing a whole, this is preface, but I'm doing a 4-part series probably on dating. And I feel like that's a big thing. People
know how to leave.
They don't know how to leave. They just want, they will stay or not even necessarily compliant, but they've outgrown this relationship or this person.
They stay because it's comfortable.
They get comfortable.
They stay because it's what they're used to.
And it's but if you break out, that's where the growth will happen. That's where the freedom.
Breaking out is not always fun though. Breaking out ain't always easy.
I know.
The word break is in there for a reason.
I know. But we talked about this, but why be a person? Why be in a relationship or be in a space where you don't feel like you're growing?
And the same reason you keep a friendship when you know it's dying. And the same reason. We just talked about it.
I know. I'm not contradicting myself. Whole series about it. But I'm going to do a 4-part episode on dating because I feel I want to bring people on to have their perspectives because I feel I have mine. And I feel
You need to bring me back.
Yeah.
You need to bring me back for a guest appearance again. This was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Man, thank you for having me.
Yeah. And do you want to give them your Instagram? I'm dead.
Say what?
Do you want to give them your Instagram handle?
No, that's confidential. They're fine. That's what we're not going to do right now.
Well, Emmanuel, come back on another episode. Thank you for starting out the new season and the new year. Thank you for having me. On the first episode of season 2. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll see you guys in the next one.
That's a wrap.
Bye.